Okay, our reading is in 1 Peter chapter 3, and it's from verse 8 through to the end of 15. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to receive to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect.
Thank you so much, Hazel. So we're so grateful for Helly for coming just to cheer us on this. That's all right. let's pray for Helly as well as she shares. Lord God, thank you so much for Helly. Thank you for the call you've given her to cheer on the church. And thank you for her willingness to come in. Do that for us today. Give us open hearts, attentive minds. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello again. So it's a real amazing privilege to speak about hope, because it's actually something that God's talking to me about at the moment, mainly because I've realised where I'm hope deficient. And mainly it's in the area of my heart. I said I'd like moved from Cheltenham, and half of it was quite heartbreaking, really. I won't go to, I don't want to overshare too much, but some of my friends' marriages broke down and my own relationship broke down. I was thinking I was going to get married and all of this stuff. And so sometimes these things happen to us, but actually they become a pull to moving you on to somewhere else, don't they, some of these issues? And it's how you kind of see them and contextualize them. So it feels really amazing to be able to have to craft a message of hope out of a place where I thought I feel a bit in lack in some of the areas in my life. And so that's just me being very honest with you. And the picture I had when I was praying for myself and for us today was actually of a jigsaw puzzle with quite a few pieces on the ground. And I felt him say, all of us together, it's like we have all of the pieces of the picture, the final picture of who God is, but none of us have them all. And it's like we're picking up a piece and putting it in so that others can see exactly who God is and what he's like and what our faith could be like. But on our own, we can't necessarily see that. And maybe for some of us, we do feel like there's hope has sort of all dropped all over the floor. And I feel like God's saying for us today to pick it up, pick up our piece and get ready to put it in so that others can see the final picture of what God's like. Does that make sense as a metaphor? So that's kind of where we're going today in this message. And they're lessons and letters, I kind of thought, from Simon Peter's life. And he really is a man with a message of hope. Just looking through, I thought I'd kind of rewind and we'd look at his life, because it's difficult to just read his letter without knowing what he's been through. And I think some of us, and understand why he picked up certain pieces of what God's like, because of what he'd been through. And it's funny, sometimes the very area that we feel like we shout hope most is the area that we've lacked it in if we were to rewind. And I feel like I'm slightly growing a hope in certain areas that is completely ironic considering my history. So actually I've become someone who's a massive cheerer on of marriages, and loads of couples keep coming to me for prayer, which is so bizarre because I think, well, wouldn't you pick someone who's like married? Or, but actually I feel like I've got this sudden hope that's risen up in me where I think, I look in the scripture and I look at what God's like and I think, goodness, I believe in this. That I do want to declare the truth that love never fails, because God said it. And so I become a hopeful person in that area. And another area in my life where I've become a hopeful person is finances, where I remember looking and hearing stories of all these people who'd suddenly have envelopes through their door at miraculous times when they needed it. And I'd think, oh, that's so great for you, but my piece is on the ground. And then I suddenly thought, well, I don't think God just runs out of these answered prayers, which is sometimes what we think, isn't it? We think, oh, he's done it for them, so he won't do it for me. I thought, I'm going to take this as permission that that's what God is like and pray it for me. And then suddenly I had this really weird thing happen as I was moving to Bristol, where my car started to smoke on the M32 as I was coming for a visit. And the RAC man said, yes, you have cooked your car, was his exact word. That's the word, that's the phrasing everyone wants to hear, right? And I just had this really weird thing rise up in me that I suddenly wanted a Nissan Qashqai and I wanted a white one. Don't know why. It wasn't like a miraculous prophetic word or anything. It was just, suddenly thought, I want a bigger car. I don't want a small little dark coloured one. I want a big one because I drive around at night often coming back from speaking, and I want it to be visible. I don't want to hide. I don't want to be a hidden person. And I want it to have comfy seats so I could bring people with, you know, I was very specific. Anyway, I definitely did not have the resources for it. And I didn't actually have the faith for it, if I'm being honest. But I just had this weird thing. I know you've done it for them, God, so you probably could do it again, rather than thinking. Anyway, long story short, loads of my friends texted from all around the country saying, I don't know why, but God's really put you on our heart to pray for today, and we'd like to send you some money. Can you send us your banking details? And then a lady at a conference I was speaking at, she said, oh, I'd love to give you some money. I'll just see what cash I've got in my pockets. £4.72. I thought, I'll take it. It's going in the Qashqai fund. And it was just, basically, this went on for 2 weeks, and then one day it became from £250 to £75 to the £4, whatever. And then one day, £5,000 appeared in my account from a couple of my friends. And at the end of this couple of weeks, I'd found a car that was up in Glasgow, and they said, oh, we'll bring it down to Birmingham. And obviously I was still living in Cheltenham then, so I thought, oh, that's quite easy to just pop up and get that car. And I remember hearing all these stories of people who had these amazing things happen, and I never thought it would happen to me, and my hope wasn't there. But now that's a piece that I can pick up and put into the picture to show you God can do that. That's part of who he is. It's not the whole picture of who he is. That's very, it's quite small actually as to who he is, but he can provide. And so that's another thing that I've kind of picked up and put in to display for others. Does that make sense? And I never thought that would happen to me. And so I'm just wondering in this room, you know, we've all probably got pieces on the floor. And in certain areas of our lives and our expectation, and we've had a series, haven't we, here, on different aspects of hope at work in the world and eternally. But actually, there might still be bits on the floor. And I feel like God's saying today, pick it up again. Pick it up again. And if it's in for someone else's picture of what God's in their life for, it can be in yours. And that's the point of hope, isn't it? And hope in God does not disappoint us. So let's look at Simon Peter's life and how he could pick things up and put them on display for us to see. And maybe those are the very things we're needing to pass on in other people. So this is who he was. He was one of 12 disciples, 12 friends and followers of Jesus. He was a fisherman, so he's a good hard grafter, outdoorsy man. He was very enthusiastic, and he wasn't afraid to speak out. He walked on water, casually. So, you know, he'd seen these amazing things. He was actually quite impulsive and quite protective of Jesus. I wonder whether we're quite well-intended and sincerely sometimes wrong. He got really cross in the Garden of Gethsemane because Jesus was about to be arrested. He was so cross and impulsive, he chopped the soldier's ear off. And then Jesus puts his hands on the the ear again and it's restored. Amazing, isn't it? And then he goes on to deny Jesus three times. So there's amazing qualities that he's got and his very human qualities that we might relate to as well. And Simon as a name, this Simon will know this to be true. I hope this is true. It means God has heard. And it's like his whole life, God had his ear to. That's what I think. It's like his whole, everything that he'd been through, he shouted that message, God has heard, God has heard, God has heard. And actually, when he denied Jesus three times, God heard. And so he really fluffed that one up, didn't he? And actually, there's times where our pieces are on the ground and we're denying Jesus. There's a situation where we're called the believers, but we've got no belief. And we're the same, really. We're the same. We're just as human as Simon is. But there's this amazing hopefulness already in his life that he gets given an extra name as well. He doesn't just stay with God as heard. He becomes something that's incredible and hope-filled as a person, not just carrying a message that God can hear, but actually God will do something with your life and make something of your life that helps encourage others. And he became Peter the Rock, and which is an amazing kind of, like, so he's not just God has heard, but he's also rock steady. And maybe that's, again, you know, pick up a piece and become rock steady, because God hasn't just heard. He wants to make us robust and firm in our faith and in our hope. And Matthew records that he says of this man, Simon Peter, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Isn't that amazing? And maybe he says to you by name today, "I know, I've heard all your journey. I've heard all your prayers. I've heard all your disappointment. I've seen all your pieces drop on the floor. And I've heard all that. And I still have a rock solid plan for your life. And my hope is robust. And your faith can be a faith in who God is today again." So, first of all, I'm going to pull out all of his message and the pieces that he puts in for us to see. He has already, before we've got where we're going today, he's put down onto the jigsaw piece of life, if you like, and the picture of God. He's put down a hope that you can have a whole new identity from your past, because he's already been redefined in his whole name. He puts down the fact that God is building his church. It is not true that God is not at work in his church, that the church is failing, because God is building it, and you're part of this. And he puts down this picture again for others to see that you can play your part. And maybe for some of you today, that's what you need to put down. But let's keep going with Peter's journey, Simon Peter's journey. And I want to just draw our attention to an amazing bit that I guess ties into my story of provision for my car that I picked up and paid for with a Visa debit card at the end and drove off singing the songs from The Greatest Showman. This is me. Look out, 'cause here I come with my free car from God. I just had this image of myself, and I did that exact same thing as I drove into Bristol when I first arrived. Sorry, you've probably never had a speaker who flails her arms, gets lost, and waffles on as much as me, but hello. Nice to meet you all. So in John 21, it's recorded about this really incredible moment, which, you know, remember what I was saying about when you see that piece go down, it's not just for someone else, it's permission God can do it again. And I think all the way through Scripture, if God did it then, he can do it again. If he did it for them, it means he can do it for you. And if he did it back then or over there, it means he can do it right here in this time. Okay? That's where I've got to with all of this. Because otherwise we're all on the ground with our pieces, and that's not going to get us anywhere, is it? So Simon Peter says to the others, all these other fishermen, "I'm going to go fishing." And they said, "Well, we'll go with you." And they went out and they got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. And this is a moment of pieces on the ground, right? This is a, like, we've tried our best, and look at the state of this. And then just as day was breaking, oh, it's so annoying when Jesus does this, isn't it? Just as day was breaking, they've gone this whole time, but just Jesus stood on the shore. And I want to say to you today, you know, just Jesus is there. Jesus is there. Just when you think, like, this is done, it's all on the ground, the pieces are all in pieces, faith isn't as robust as you thought it was going to be, I want to reassure you with a confident declaration that Jesus Christ is there. He's standing on the edges and he's waiting to talk to you, just like he was waiting to talk to them. And this is what he said. Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. So they cast it. Good, quick response. There's a lesson in there, isn't there? When Jesus says something, better do what he tells you. And so they cast it, and they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. So Simon Peter goes on in verse 11 to say, he went aboard, he hauled the net ashore, and it was full of large fish, not just tiny little widdly ones, large fish, 153 large fish. And although there were so many, the nets were not torn. This is speaking, isn't it, of an abundant God. Of a God who has heard, but a God who says, I'm going to put something robust in your life. Something tangible that you will see and that will be a message to other people. And here it is on display, all of these fish. But that is not the end of why this message is a brilliant picture for us. Jesus then said to them, come and have breakfast. So the presence of God wasn't just for the provision of God. He wanted to be with them. And that is a hope in itself, isn't it? The Most High God, the one who we sang about earlier, who opened his mouth and breathed out the stars, he's standing on your shore going, I could help you with that. I could give you some instructions for that, and they will really, really benefit your life. But do you know what I care about more? I want you to just come and sit down with me. Like, I've got a kipper on, and it's just for you. Let's just chill and have a chat. And this man who'd denied Jesus and who'd really fluffed it up, and maybe some of us, we can relate because we're just as human as him. Jesus starts to talk to him really personally, and he says when they finish breakfast, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Well, feed my lambs. And then he says again, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Well, tend my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. And then after saying this, he said to him, well, follow me. And there's this amazing kind of reinstatement of this very broken man, this very human person. And Jesus, I love, doesn't just say Simon or just say Peter. He says, Simon, son of John. Simon, I know your whole history. Simon, I know who your dad was. I know your whole genealogy. I know what you've come through in your life. Right back. And I got a plan for you. And I want you to put something in place in your life that isn't just for you. I've just fed you with these 153 fish. I've just got a massive catch for you. And now we're sitting and we're talking. But do you know this is just not for you? I want to put something on display in your life through this picture as you put your piece in that helps the other sheep, the other little lambies who've got tangled up in their mess, the other ones who need to be picked up because they've been hurt by the briars or got stuck in a fence. I want to put something into you that will help others and feed others. Starving people, and this world is starving of hope, isn't it? Like, we're scrabbling around eating junk because we're starved of hope. And here God is saying, here's a man who lost it and now has something to give to others. Isn't that brilliant? And let me tell you, that could be you. That could be you. And hope is God-given. So let's see what other pieces have started to go into place for him to put God on display. There is a God-given new identity. We've had it before. There's a God-given building of his church, and we are part of it. And now there was the words of Jesus Christ and the knowledge of Jesus that that side of the boat is a load of fish ready for you. And you know, he might want to say that to you. Get your nets out again. Get your nets out again and start to pass this on. There's a knowledge that Jesus has that is beyond our knowledge and beyond our working. And he wants to share it with you. Do we believe that? Because God's done it before, so he can do it again. And there's a provision from God that he says, oh, wow, yeah, let me put this on display for you. And you can share in this as well. Another piece gets added in. Let's keep going because it gets better and better and the picture gets fuller and fuller. So fast track through what happens next. Jesus has died and he is resurrected and he goes off and Peter is left with the power of the Spirit received at Pentecost. They were all gathered. And then he does this blinder of a passing on message. And this isn't even, he's not even finished yet, his story of God and his life. And 3,000 people, as he shares this message of hope, get saved through his words. But it's because he's empowered by the Spirit of God. Isn't that amazing? Imagine that. One day you just go out and have a little casual chat and then and those are people like, I need this Jesus. That's what happens on one day. Then he healed a crippled beggar, as you do. Then he was jailed. Hopefully not as you do, but this is the reality of life for him. His shadow, he got this reputation of even just his shadow healing people. Remember, this is the guy who was like, I don't even know you, Jesus. This is that same guy. People were like, let me get under that shadow. He's so full of the power of God. That could be you. People start coming, moving closer because they sense the power of God at work in your life. He healed a man who had been bedridden for 8 years. And when I say he, God through him. God through him and maybe God through you. I wonder when we last prayed for someone's healing. Just putting it out there. I need to do it a bit more. He resurrected a lady called Tabitha. He had amazing visions from God. Then he got jailed again. Awkward. Not for bad reasons, for good God reasons. If you're going to get arrested, let's make it worth it, yeah? And then an angel, this is hilarious when I was reading this, an angel prods him from jail while he's sleeping to wake him up. And then he gets up and his chains just fall off and he casually walks out. Imagine that. This is in history. I've lost this aspect of God. This is a piece I need to put back in. Because I start lying down on the ground and going, oh no, God's like that for other people. Or he was like that in history. No, this is our God at work. And then after that, he writes two letters from Rome. And you know, that's exactly what we just heard from, those letters, those messages of hope. He was a letter writer. And I think he decided the best way I can carry this hope on into life, I'm going to pass it on through the medium of letters. And maybe you need to write some letters or the modern day equivalent. Maybe you need to do some texting today, passing on of hope. Maybe you need to send an email today. Maybe you need to just pop something on your Facebook today of, I heard about this, and get it out there again. Because he thought, how can this message outlive me? And he passed it on in written form. So let's go again through what he's picked up. We have new identity. God is building his church and we can be part of it. God has things to say and knowledge that we don't know and he wants to share them because he's present. God gives provision when we really need it. God now saves. He saves. Like literally from anything we need saving from, he is saving us eternally and on this earth. He gives authority and power and healing into the hands of his people. Do you need to know that today? Maybe you need it for you. He is a resurrector. God is a resurrector. Nothing is just done. The same power that conquered the grave is in us. He can give us visions and he can free us from prison. Anything that's holding us back. Chains off. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? This is our God. And so at the beginning of the first letter, and we're only going to look at the first letter, Peter says to these people from Rome, he was writing to quite a few different people, actually. And, you know, it's as if God's writing this to us. And I want you to hear this as if it's written directly to you as a letter. You are chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. God's special possession, his very own. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That is for you. That is for you. Then another bit of his letter, this first letter. He says, you were lost sheep with no idea who you were or where you were going. Now you are named and you're kept for good by the shepherd of your souls. That is for you. He came down to buy you. You were expensive. Cost Jesus his whole life. And you're worth it. You're worth it. And then the letter goes on to say exactly that we heard read so brilliantly earlier. So finally, all of you, be like-minded. There is a mind that God has, and it's the mind of Christ. And even your mind, God says to you today, you know, you might feel it's all pieces on the ground. God is very clear that he's given you his mind. You have the mind of Christ. And his word says he didn't give you a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. You've got a sound mind. So you can be of like mind. Different people, God's head on the matter. That'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? That would be brilliant. And be sympathetic. Love one another. Be compassionate and humble. Can you hear the heart of this man who's journeyed all of that? He's got every right to tell us this, hasn't he? So good. And don't repay evil with evil or insult with insult. Just stop that chain of judgment and pointing fingers. Break it in yourself. Don't keep passing it on. And on the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Oh, that's a challenge. But you know Jesus did it, and so we can do it. Because you were. Because to this you were called, so you may inherit a blessing. And then whoever would love life and see good days, you must keep your tongue from evil and your lips from deceitful speech. Please don't lie. God is a God of truth. God is a God of truth, and truth sets us free. There's a freedom when we're able to be honest. And they must turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Oh, his heart is so great, isn't it? And it's so challenging. And then the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. Isn't that wonderful? Remember, this is God has heard. This is God has heard. And the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who's going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for doing right, you're blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. God is on the throne, and he is not moved by our pieces on the ground. He's not falling off his throne, worried. He's absolutely robust, and therefore so can our faith be. When we keep in mind, God is God, Jesus is Lord, and this will make sense one day, because we are eternal. And always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness, and do this with respect. You don't just shove it all in people's faces, but we do have to have a reason. And I hope that I'm starting to show you Peter had very good reasons that he was sharing. And you know, all of our pieces together will have good reasons why we're sharing. His letter goes on to say, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So it's not just all the stuff on the outside he cares about. He cares about our hearts. And you know, when I moved to Bristol, I thought my heart is small and hard. It's like it's turned black. But God gives us hope even for our hearts, doesn't he? He says, I'll give you a new heart. I'll put a heart of flesh in you, a soft one. You don't have to be hard and hurt anymore. Give it to me. So I was like, okay, God, I give you this heart. And it was like I imagined this black weight going out of my hands. That's what I saw in my mind as I prayed. And I felt like God say, yeah, I'm going to come to your life. And I imagined Jesus, as I was praying, doing this listening prayer exercise, coming down my parents' driveway with a bright yellow balloon. And he said, I'm giving you your joy back. And here's your pink, soft heart. And I honestly feel different. I honestly feel different. And I know it's just words and it's just praying, but we believe in God is who he says he is. And he says, I'll take that heart and turn it to flesh. I'll take that mind and transform it. I take all those pieces on the ground and make an amazing picture of what I'm like and display it for the world. And it's going to involve your life. Let's keep going with this hope. It's building up a new identity. Pick it up. God is building his church. Pick it up. You are part of it. Pick it back up and put it on display. Jesus has things to say and knowledge that could really help some people. Let's not forget to share them. There is provision from God. There is salvation from God. There is healing from God. There is resurrection power from God. We can see visions from God. We can be freed from our prisons and the things that hold us back because of God. We can be free from our burdens. Can you feel it rising in you? I can. Hope is defined by one chap who leads a big church in America, in California, as the joyful expectation or anticipation of good things to come. The joyful anticipation and expectation of good things to come. And this is about a moral certainty in who God is, not necessarily one that makes sense, because it doesn't always make sense, hope in God, does it? But we're not just deluded or wishfully thinking. We have hope in God, and it's faith in the future tense. It's faith in the future tense, because as God did it then, he can do it again. And it's hope for now that we will see the goodness of God in the land of the living, and God has these plans, and they're plans to give us hope and a future. But it's hope for eternity. You know, some of our prayers are for eternity. They're going to get answered in eternity, aren't they? Because this life is so small. It's really, really small. And so even that, we need to put that on display for some other people. My friend's wife died really suddenly, and he's not a Christian, and there's this Facebook group saying, oh, let's, you know, help this chappie. And my friend, who's also not a Christian, she said, oh, you know what, you need to talk to Helly, because she believes in hope and eternity. Isn't that interesting? So like a non-Christian was evangelizing another non-Christian accidentally all over Facebook. And so we hope in who God is and not just what he does. So all of these amazing pictures that we're getting painted about who God is, it's about him, isn't it? Do you remember on the shore he was there? And on your shoreline he's there. And he wants a relationship with us. This most high God, this is a hope again, isn't it? That he wants to be close to you. He wants to sit down with you. He wants to talk with you about your life. Not just give you loads of gifts. And those are benefits, although there are many. If we were selling God, it's quite an easy sell. But actually, he cares about a relationship with us, and he wants to talk with us more than that. And there are some prayers that are prayed. One is by Paul in Romans. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is a prayer I'm praying for you and for me. Isaiah the prophet prayed this prayer. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. It was like a declaratory prayer and prophecy that can become true in our lives. Maybe you need your hope in God again so that you feel strong in faith. So let's keep going. The picture is building. There is a piece of a new identity. He is building his church and you are part of it. He is fully present on the shoreline of your life. He has words to say and knowledge to give. He has provision that he can bring. There is salvation from Jesus Christ. There is healing from Jesus Christ. There is resurrection power from Jesus Christ. We can have visions from Jesus. We can be freed from our prisons because of God. We can be released of our burdens because of God. Not just for now, but we have a hope for eternity, because heaven is our home. Heaven is our home, and one day everything will make sense, and any pieces that are left on the ground will be fully in place. So how, you're asking? How, Helly? Well, these are just some phrases that I've started to use, and as you can tell, I don't find it difficult to talk about how amazing I think God is, because it does literally burst out. But I appreciate for some of us that sounds a strange thing to do. So these are little things that I sometimes do, and I'll just pass them on to you. This is how I put the pieces out for others to see. So if I read something in the scripture and I think, oh, that is really, that person needs to hear it, I don't just think I need to hear that for me. I pass it on. And this is what I write in my text. I read this phrase in the Bible the other day, and then I copy and paste from Google what the verse was. Hope it helps. And you know, no one has actually come back to me and said, could you please stop this? So I just relentlessly pursue. In a conversation, I sometimes say, because I think in this room, we've all probably, the list of what we can pull out of Peter's life and Peter's letters and Peter's journey that are put on display, we'll all have aspects of. So we will all know somebody or heard of a story about a healing, or we will have known about someone who was set free. If you don't, you can steal all my stories. You can have my provision one. My leg was grown once and it healed my back. I mean, bonkers, isn't it? But, you know, pass it on. It's just about sharing it, putting it up so others can see it. And so, you know, I heard about someone who, this happened. Or I saw this and I thought of you. And it's someone's written up a testimony, or you're in church and there's words of the song on the screen and their name comes to mind. Don't just think it. Put it on display. Put it on display somehow so others can see who God is. I often say things like, so you know I'm a Christian. I just felt like God might want to do what he did back then in your life. Because he did it then, it means he could do it again. This is who he is. I'd love to introduce you to him. That's my next line. And then I just feel like God is wanting to say something. So do you mind if I share it with you? And that would be like, and then I go for it. And then this is the one that everyone goes for, and I've only had once in my whole life, and I've been a Christian since I was 5, someone say no. How can I pray for you? How can I pray for you? People feel loved, even if you just make that offer. And all these pieces, we don't have it all together, but all together we've got it. And if we don't share our hope, no one else can display it either. So I want to encourage you as a church family, do share what you feel God is saying and doing. Do pick up these phrases and put them on display for others to see. Do feel like you could text a friend, phone a friend, email a friend, Facebook a friend, stick it out there, because we need hope. This world is completely hope depleted and full of fear, and this is an antidote from God. So I'd love to pray for us. God, I thank you that we don't put just a random hope in wishful thoughts, but we have a robust faith. And you are proud to call us the believers. And God, help our spirits to connect with your spirit, deep to deep. In a very hope-deprived world, in a very scared world, in our own lives where maybe the pieces are on the floor, help us to pick them up and put them on display to show the picture of what you're like, God. And would you give us a joyful anticipation and expectation of good things to come? In Jesus' name, amen.